Amen. Praise the Lord. How many were blessed already? Isn't God doing something special here this Sunday morning? And you can see God moving all throughout, amen, all our generations, from the young all the way to all of us that are here. And so within this time, this is a time for us to receive the word from the Lord. And so we're going to welcome up our senior pastor. He's going to share with us. And I believe that he has a not just any word, but a timely word. I know that God speaks to him. And I know that God always gives him something fresh. So I just want to make mention, amen. Let's do our best. And also those watching online, just to make sure that we receive, amen, not missing out what the Lord has for us. I know that God's been using our pastor in a powerful way. Amen. He's been saved for over 20 years. He's been married also for over 20 years. He's been working here, laboring in the city of Milwaukee so that you and I can have a chance to receive that gift of Jesus Christ. So why don't we put our hands together for our senior pastor here this Sunday morning.
Amen, amen. How many are excited here on this beautiful Sunday, Easter morning? I'm real grateful here to be able to share the Easter morning service, and I want to thank all of you that are here for the very first time. We welcome you, and we pray that you have an experience here this day with the person of the Holy Spirit touching your life, speaking to your life, no matter what may be currently taking place, and those viewing online as well. It might be your first time as well, and we want to welcome you there, that you would also be touched of the person of the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord would be able to start a good work within your lives. I also want to thank the leadership here for the great, great job they're doing, they've been doing. Let's give the leadership here, Victor Outreach Milwaukee, a great clap offering here this day. Well, I'm excited. I'm always excited to see new faces in church, amen, and prayfully that the Lord would speak to you here this morning, that you would respond, and that you know that it was Him speaking to you. So as we go to the Word here this morning, I'm once again very excited and privileged to be able to share this morning. The title of this morning's message is Resurrection Breakthrough. How many needs a breakthrough within their lives right now that something got to change? Something's got to change. You've come to a place where you know things can't continue as usual. Amen. So I pray here this morning by the end of the service that you would be touched. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Every verse that I share here this morning will be on the screens, amen, that you can follow along, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, as we all give our focus to the word here this day. And the Bible reads, He died for everyone, so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side here this day, that you speak with a clarity here to your sons and daughters this day and those viewing online. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I want to read verse 15 once again. The Bible records He died for everyone, for every last one of us that are here this morning in the temple of God, for those that are viewing online. The Bible says that Jesus died for everyone, so that those who receive His new life, key part of the verse, will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and raised for them. So here, as we look at verse 15, the purpose of Jesus' death and resurrection, amen, was for us. The purpose of his death and his resurrection was for you and I, amen, to no longer live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. A price had to be paid at the cross of Calvary, and the power of God had to resurrect his son Jesus on the third day from the tomb. And all this took place for we would no longer live for ourselves, but that we would get the opportunity to live for Christ. How many messed it up pretty good living for ourselves, doing it our way? And God was able to see it before time, amen? And he put together this plan that would include his son, that would be born, that would die, that would raise from the dead, for you and I to be able to live the true life, which is living for Christ Jesus. I'm going to be speaking about Paul here this day, and how Paul was able to see how Jesus not only died, but that he resurrected from the dead. Something took place within the life of Paul that he couldn't understand on how a man that was dead be raised from the dead. And I believe in verse 15, Paul was seeing believers still in the church living for themselves. And I believe in the present time that we live in right now, if we're not careful, it's very easy to forget what Christ did at the cross, what the Father did on the third day in raising Jesus from the dead. And if we're not careful as Christians, we can fall into the trap of living for ourselves, trying to make it happen. Living for ourselves. And I believe Paul was able to see that. In verse 16 is the answer. And this is Paul speaking. He says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. This is Paul included. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. How many have ever evaluated somebody else's life besides your very own life? And you come up with an evaluation of him or her, and usually when you do, it's usually negative. Your evaluation of him or her is usually a negative evaluation. And Paul was one of these, evaluating others incorrectly. And he goes on to say, at one time, and in other words, it was no longer taking place, but at one time, the Bible says that at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. And it ends there with this last sentence, how differently we know him now. How differently we know him now. And I believe Paul was able to see himself and certain individuals within the church evaluating others incorrectly. And I believe he was able to see also some within the church evaluating Christ from a human point of view. And that is the problem of the church today, why resurrection breakthroughs do not take place in one's life. Because we continue to evaluate others and even Christ from a human point of view, the way we see it, the way we think it is. In the natural, in the flesh. And I put here, whenever you view Christ from a human point of view, you will live for self and continue to evaluate others incorrectly, even Christ. Evaluating others incorrectly, including your spouse, your children, leadership within the church, church members. And I believe it's time for the sons and daughters of God to get to know who God is. Because at the end of that last sentence says, now, how differently we know him now. You see, it was in Paul knowing him that something took place in his life to evaluate others differently. It was the way it changed was in Paul being able to know Christ. That was the foundation if Paul was going to view others, evaluate others correctly, he knew that he would have to know Christ. How many here this morning want to evaluate your marriage the way God evaluates it? How many here this morning do not want to miss in how you evaluate your children? You see, every one of us have an evaluation. Every last one of us here this day, and those viewing online. And how is our evaluation when we think about the lost and the bound? Those that are in the streets right now dying. When simply it shouldn't be like that. Because there's a Savior that paid the price in full. For them to have resurrection power and not remain in the rut they're in. So could you agree with me here this morning that it is important how we evaluate others and how we evaluate Christ? Paul at one time when he was Saul was missing it in both categories. Until Christ stepped into his life and took a hold of him. And it was then and only then when now Paul would start to seek the person Jesus. And all of a sudden his evaluation on Christ and others changed, where he was able to write about it. Was able to write about it. Once again, whenever you view Christ from a human point of view, you will live for self. In other words, we got to get it right with Christ first, as Saul did when he became Paul, before we can get it right with others and evaluate others correctly. Some of you still think, I'm right, you're right. And you're going to stick to your guns. No, Pastor, I know my evaluation about her is 100% correct. Pastor, I know. My evaluation about him is 100% correct. No mistakes. That's just the way he is. That's just the way she is. And they're just never going to change. But here at the end, in the last sentence, Paul says how differently we know him now. Tells me that I would believe here this day that some believe they know Christ, but they really don't. When there's no excuse for it, as big and as great of a God he is, I preached many, many, many years ago that the blind man could even see Jesus coming. That's how big God is. That's how great God is. But there's some that just want to continue to evaluate Christ and others incorrectly. It allows one to feel in authority, in power of one's evaluation of Christ and others. Knowing him, which is Christ, allowed them not only to evaluate Christ correctly, but others as well. As we go to Philippians chapter 3, I'm not preaching a tomb message, but it's going to go to the tomb in a little bit. Because I believe there's still some in the tomb when the rock has been rolled away. I was going to preach in Matthew when the resurrection took place, when Mary went and told them, and the Bible says that Peter and the one that loved them most, John, amen, that Peter and John took off running to the tomb. And you would have think Peter being Peter would have won on that foot race. I was going to preach this message. But the Bible says when they got there that John beat him on that foot race to the tomb on this day with the news that he had heard. But John being John, the Bible says he just took a peek in the tomb and saw that Jesus wasn't there no more. And then Peter finally caught up and got to the tomb, but Peter walked in the tomb. So there were two different disciples. But on that day, that one that Jesus loved most beat Peter on a foot race on that day. Because of the love that John had for Jesus. That day, Peter had to take a second place ribbon. But after Peter stepped in the tomb, the Bible records that even John had the courage to walk to the place where once lied the body of Christ. You see, true love will have you chase Jesus. True love for the Lord will have you chase Jesus until you catch him. And I believe this morning he'll slow it down a little bit to allow you to catch him or to catch up. But I believe there's some here that got to run to catch up. And I believe there's some here this morning viewing online here that can walk in stride with Jesus, that know him, that know him. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, that was your Easter Sunday message right there, amen? The foot race between Peter and John, and go tell everybody that John beat Peter on that foot race that day. In verse 10, the Bible says, this is once again Paul speaking in writing. He says, I want to know Christ. There's that, I want to know Christ. And experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul knew, as you go back to verse 10, that he had to know Christ in order to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Paul knew that he had to know him to experience the resurrection power of the Father that raised Jesus from the dead. And I put here in my notes, to experience, he would have to apply knowing Christ. See, the word experience is when you do something and you reap whatever you're trying to achieve. Paul didn't want just to know Christ. He wanted to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. He wanted to experience it, and in order to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he would have to apply knowing him. He would have to apply knowing him. I have a note at the top that I just wrote up with the lights off. Be nice, be nice. Okay, be nice, be nice. Because I get carried away sometimes, and I keep going. Be nice. Happy Easter, everybody. Have I told you lately that I love you? Those online, we're having a beautiful Easter celebration service this day. The kids are about to go and find Easter eggs hidden through the grass in 35 degrees weather. Because this is the way we do it. In Milltown. I bet you there ain't gonna be one kid bummed out looking for eggs out there in 35 degrees weather. There will be a fight or two. My eggs! Okay, nice. That's nice enough. Let's get back to the message. Paul was very educated, knowledgeable in many, many, many areas. He was sharp. But Jesus being resurrected from the dead just blew his mind. I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead would be hard for anybody to believe. It's where the power comes from. And Paul knew it. It's where the power comes from in us believing that Christ is alive right now. And what he did on Friday and what he did today was for us. That he wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something through your life. He don't want to leave you where you're at, but he wants to use you with the resurrection power. And Paul wanted to experience that power. He just didn't want to be one of the guys. He wanted to be one that experienced the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. Not one of the disciples waited around for 3 days to find out if he would raise from the dead. It was hard to believe. For me, and I believe I'm speaking for some that are here this day and some viewing this day. For me, it's very easy to believe that Christ was not only resurrected from the tomb on the third day, but that he resurrected my life from the tomb of death over 15 times. For me, it's easy to believe the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, knowing about it and experiencing it in my life. I'm assured that Jesus raised from the dead. It was a one-time atonement on that Good Friday, that a one-time thing he had to do because there was so much power in it. He had to go back over and over to try to get it right for you and I. There was power on that day at the cross. There was power 3 days later when the Father would raise him from the dead. And this is the day we celebrate this day. For me, it is easy to believe that Jesus, being without sin, was raised from the dead by the Father. Because I know that Jesus raised me from the tomb, from death, of a sin-filled life. Not once, but twice, but three times, all the way to 15 times. He rose me from the tomb and from death. And I believe we have others here this morning that have been resurrected from the dead and that are watching online. And because of that, I have spoke to nobody, but I want Jason Christensen, he's playing with his tie back there, to come make his way forward right now. This is live. This ain't Memorex. This is live. It was an old commercial for those that are 50 and over, maybe. You got 1 minute.
1 minute.
I pulled up this morning. He goes, I got a new tie, Pastor. You like it? And it's not him, though. He goes, fancy, huh? And I go, real fancy, Jason. I just kept driving my car. Real fancy. But you're looking at an ex-heroin addict of many, many, many years that the Lord has resurrected. He didn't just do it for me, but he did it for Jason that didn't deserve nothing and had nothing coming but death and hell. But the grace and mercy of Christ, 1 minute to testify who you were and who you are now.
Well, my name is Jason. I'm from Milwaukee, and I grew up in a house of addiction with my parents. And at a young age, I started, like most of us, smoking pot, drinking. And as I became in my 20s, I started to use heroin, and it all went bad. In trouble, losing my good jobs. But then one day, I was working on 13th and Lincoln, and Jesus was on the scene. The men from the home came around the block, gave me a flyer. I put that flyer in my pocket. I held on to that flyer for 5 months. And don't you know, December 2019, I pulled that flyer out of my pocket when I got kicked out of jail for being a filthy drug addict. They didn't want me to die there anyways. So I pulled out that flyer. I called Pastor Charlie. Pastor Charlie opened the door for me. And from that day, December 2019, to this current day, we're here standing in front of you. Jesus had changed my life because I always knew who God was. I just didn't have a personal relationship with him. And this day I have a relationship with God. And I thank God for Pastor Charlie. I thank God for Pastor Felipe. I thank God for all of you because all of you reflect through my life. And I thank you guys. I'm going to do all I can to help you as we help each other serve the Lord. For we are all servants of the Lord. Amen.
He even got his brains back. He remembered dates and everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why is it so hard for us to believe that Jesus raised from the dead on the third day? Why is it so hard to believe? Because some of you are like doubting Thomases. You want to see the marks. You want to see the proof. Well, I got a little bit more proof. Terry Taylor, you put your notes down, yeah. Uncross your legs. Come on up.
We always teach to be ready in and out of season, amen? You see, a month or two ago, five guys would have had to help them get up them steps. But we're looking at another ex-heroin addict, amen, that blew it bad. But Christ, once again, through his grace and mercy, stepped into his life. You got a minute and a half, Terry.
Giving you 30 seconds more.
First of all, I want to thank God for giving me another opportunity to be here. As Pastor said, I know a date, too. January the 3rd, 2006, God brought me into Victory Outreach. It was my first time, you know, and I was doing pretty good and everything, struggling with drugs and so forth and so on. And something happened to me. I remember real good, Pastor was preaching a message about Jesus walking on water. But he in the middle or at the end, he got a little shaky. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what happened with me. When I strayed away, I got a little shaky. You know, my faith started to dwindle a little bit. But lo and behold, many years later, I find myself back in the house of God, being thankful that he died for my sin and gave me another opportunity to stand here before you. I became an alcoholic. That 27 years of heroin addiction didn't do to me what that 5 years of alcoholism did to me. And I know that if God can do it for me, he can do it for you all also. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Terry ran the homes for about 4 years there when we were on the South Side on 25th and National. I thought he was going to tell the story. I was preaching hard. It was one of those days I think I threw my shoes off, my jacket off, and I was South Side preaching, amen. And all of a sudden, Terry went flying in the altar during the message, and he thought somebody pushed him in. Somebody pushed him into the altar, amen. But little did he know that he was being baptized by the Holy Ghost that day, and he was looking back to see who pushed him. Nobody pushed him. Sometimes we got to get pushed into the things of Christ to wake up. And there's so much more proof in the church right now on how God resurrected the dead. Many of you still here listening to my voice are remembering and reminiscing in your mind right now of the many times you should have died, but by God's grace and mercy, and because Jesus lives, you find yourself here this day hearing the message of the resurrected Christ. Globally, in our ministry, all around the world, we have treasures out of darkness that were also resurrected from the dead. Amen?
That's fine.
All around the world. Not just a few testimonies we had right now. I brought up ex-heroin addicts, so for the rest of you all say, well, I wasn't that bad. You got it. If God could do it for them, he definitely can do it for you then. Give yourself a clap offering right there. That one was for you.
Well, Pastor, I never was a drug addict.
You need Christ just as much as a drug addict does. We all need Jesus. The world we live in is too complicated to make it without Christ within our lives. He even humbles those that are educated. Sometimes he has to bring them down a notch to let them know who's the head, the brains of the operation. It's not just drug addicts. Educated folks missing it right now. Folks living in the suburb missing it right now. And it's simply for not knowing who Christ is.
Our trouble in believing is not knowing Christ. Our trouble in believing is simply not knowing Christ. And that's why Paul was determined to learn and to grow and to know who Jesus was. As educated as he was, brought up with the best of the best teachings, he was so determined to know Christ at another level because he wanted to experience the resurrection power for his very own life. In Philippians there, chapter 3, verse 10, and because he wanted not just to know Christ, but because he wanted to experience Christ, he would have to suffer for him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Paul knew his life was connected to Jesus Christ. He knew it well. He knew that he was a part of the body of Christ. And he knew if he wanted to know him better and to experience the resurrection power in his life, he would have to suffer. And that's why he didn't fear death. He kind of was, bring it on. I want to experience Christ. I just don't want to know Christ. I want to experience Christ. He knew death preceded his resurrection experience. He knew suffering preceded his resurrection experience that he desired to have within his life. I put here, we need to know that we are going to go through some hard times. Tell your neighbor it's so. Tell your other neighbor, you're going to have to go through some hard times. Peek back, be rude, and look at the person sitting behind you saying, that goes for you too. We're all going to have to experience hard times. There's no way around dodging the hard times that life brings each and every one of us. How many had some hard times getting to church this morning? Let me take a commercial drink of some Fiji water. Well, that's why when I got up early this morning, I went to the shed, man. I had to be alone with Christ. I'll spend time with the in-laws after the service. We're going to have to go through some hard times, people. Paul was able to see the good and the revelation in the hard times that he endured. Because he wanted to suffer for Christ. He knew that in order to experience the resurrection power, he was going to have to suffer. Paul also knew that there was no way around death. You might find it hard this morning to believe in somebody dead being raised from the dead. But is it hard to believe that one day soon, sooner or later, we're all going to die? Have you been to a few funerals? We're all going to die. I speak it about it all the time now because I'm getting older. There was a time I never mentioned death or even tripped on my body or anything because I was Superman. Today I only think I'm Superman, but I know my body's getting older. And I try to give my spiritual son wisdom and saying to take care of his body because soon it's going to start aching. Oh, don't say that, Pastor. Don't say that. Pastor, don't say that. No, don't. I thought just like he did when my dad would tell me. There was no way because my body was still young. But now, oh my Lord, I need a resurrection power not only on Easter Sunday, but every day 365. Paul also knew that there was no way around death. There was no way around death. It's a fact that we can believe here this morning. So it was so important for Paul to die right in Christ. And verse 11 says, he was determined to experience the resurrection power. Amen. Paul concludes here in verse 11 and says, so that one way or another, sounds like grandpa again, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, one way or another. So that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul was determined. And because he was determined not only to know Christ, but to experience Christ, he knew that he was going to have to suffer. He knew that he was going to have to go through hard times. There was no way around it. It's not that the church is all messed up. It's your evaluation of the church that's messed up. It's your evaluation of who Christ is and what he's able to do in one's life that is messed up. Hard times are sure to come. Are sure to come. Death is sure to come to all unless he beats us back there in the rapture, amen? Unless he beats us to the punch. To me, it really don't matter. It really don't matter. Paul was almost wanting to die. He couldn't hold out no more. He wanted to experience the resurrection power. We need to know this day that the resurrection power from the Father was not only for Jesus to be raised out of the tomb on the third day, but we need to know that the resurrection power was for us as well. And that's why in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, and God would raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering right there. The resurrection power, Paul knew, was not only for Jesus, but he knew that the resurrection was also for his life. He knew he was tied to the body of Christ. He knew that he was a part of the body of Christ. He knew that Jesus had resurrected from the dead, just as prophecy said he would. And he wanted to experience the power, the love, the divine touch of God, the resurrection power that would not only raise Jesus from the dead, but that would one day take him home to heaven forever and ever. A resurrection power that will take your life and my life to heaven forever and ever. Paul knew upon his death, after his death, that he would spend an eternity with his Lord and Savior because of the resurrection power. He knew that death had been conquered and everything else he would go through would be less than. He knew the knockout punch of the enemy had been knocked out by the cross. He knew well that death had been conquered. Paul wanted to experience that power, that victory. He didn't just want to know about it, write about it. He wanted to experience it. I'm under the resurrection power of the Lord right now. Oh, by the way, I too was an ex-junkie heroin addict with no direction in my life. Prison for many, many years. OD'd over and over, living in the streets, eating out of trash cans. But Pastor, you're so good looking, it's hard for me to believe that. Believe it. All I know is I had one believing. Her name is Sister Marlene. She was a believer early on, 24 years ago, when I came out of prison and a couple years in the church. Those things were so natural, I was still yoked 2 years later. Still got a little bit, amen, but I think I'm losing it a little bit, amen. Paul knew so strongly of this truth that he prepared in all that he had to go through. How are you going to prepare? By everything you go through. It has a purpose. It has a destination. Paul knew so strongly of this truth that he prepared in all that he had to go through in order to experience the power of the resurrection for his very own life in Christ. I'm here to let you know that my life is victorious. Am I here to say that I never go through things? That would be a lie, a big lie. I go through a lot of things. But I, like Paul, know that if Christ conquered death, no matter what I go through, I'm going to be okay. There was a guy that used to come to our church on the side. He did many, many, like 20-odd years in prison. And he had a saying that I kind of liked, but it don't hold water versus Paul. And he says, Pastor, he was crazy. He had been electric shocked in prison for years and years. He was out there. He said, Pastor, what can't kill me can't hurt me. And I was like, ooh, that's deep. You're a bad dude, man. What can't kill me can't hurt me. Paul says, to die is to be with Christ. To live is to be with Christ. Because death has been conquered, people. And I know the way some of you feel about death because I'm thinking about it a lot. Grandpa says it's going to come to all of us. He has a walking stick at the house, and he says, one day this stick is going to be yours. I go, come on, Grandpa. I feel like Felipe. Come on, don't say that stuff. Man, that's still 30, 40 years away from now. And then he says, and who knows? You might go before me. Grandpa, Grandpa. He goes, that's cold, Grandpa, man. But that's the truth. But whether I go before him or after him, I know the promises that God has given my resurrected life that has conquered death over and over and over. So where I go before him or after him, I'm going to be doing great. Because I'm going to be with my Savior for an eternity that no man, no person can stop from happening. It's called the resurrection power of Christ. As we stand here this day and as the worship team makes their way, please. Some of you are bummed out about some things right now that are not really as big as you think they are. Nobody wants to suffer. Paul did, because he wanted to have an experience. Nobody wants to suffer. That's why one comes to church, to stop suffering. There's no way around suffering, people. But the good news to that, you can suffer in the world or you can suffer in Christ. The outcome is totally, totally black and white. We're all going to have to suffer. Whether you have finances, don't have finances, you're going to be suffering. There's no way around it. Amen. And here this day, I am excited to see all the new faces here. All those have come here this day. Amen. We got a great turnout here this morning. Let's give those a good clap offering. Those that are online, let's give those online a good clap offering right now. And I'm here to let you know, whatever you're going through, that you can get your resurrected breakthrough here this day. You can snap out of it. Or get over it. I'm excited here this day. Simple message. But I know Christ gave it to me. That I'm able to experience it, not only know it and preach it, but experience the resurrection power within my life. That it still allows me to get up every morning with purpose, with direction, with a plan in building the kingdom of God. Amen? We all play a part. We all play a part here this day in being used of God to help those that are really, really missing it. I believe some here this day are missing it, but not to the point where you couldn't make it this morning. Through God's grace and mercy, you've made it to church here this day. But I believe God wants to touch each and every one of us to go tell them all about the resurrected Christ. The Bible don't say how Paul died, but commentary says that he was beheaded. Paul really didn't care how he went out. But I believe that day he experienced that resurrection power. He was beheaded to leave us this word here this day. That death is conquered. That death is conquered. Which tells and speaks to each and every one of us, no matter what we're going through, that we're going to make it. Whatever the song is, I'm going to open up the altars here this day. And I would pray some of you come out of your tomb. That you would come out of your tomb, those that are needing to experience a resurrection breakthrough here this Sunday morning. That you came way beyond just hearing an Easter message. But God had in mind and preaching a resurrected breakthrough message just for you. Just for you.